Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Have you noticed all the Christmas lights around the community this time of the year? Well, that makes an impact, does it not? Well, something is going on that makes people celebrate like that. Well, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, outdid all of our lights. He left this world by means of resurrection, and he entered the world by means of a virgin birth. Jesus does all things well. I can think tonight of three reasons why Christ was born of a virgin and how that should inspire faith and love in our hearts for Christ. The first reason, the virgin birth, is it fulfills Old Testament prophecy, and that should encourage us. Listen to the reason that Matthew in his gospel gives in the parallel account of Matthew 1, verse 22. He writes, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets." There it is. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. And then Matthew quotes Isaiah, a well-known prophet. But you see, there are more prophets. Think back to me early on to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, where their very first gospel prophecy and promise is found in the Old Testament. Scholars call this the proto-evangelion, the first gospel. There it says, "I," that is the Lord, speaking to the woman, "I, the Lord, will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, Eve, and between your offspring and hers. And he," that is, we know later to be Jesus, "will crush your head," that is, the serpent's, "and you will strike his heel." Now, I find it remarkable that in this prophecy, that there's no mention of an earthly father mentioned in those particular words. The Messiah here is said to be the seed not of a man, but of a woman. Is that hinting at a virgin birth? Well, Isaiah 7, verse 14 does clarify when it says, "A virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." You see, in his very first act of sending Christ, God had made it very clear that Christ is the fulfillment of old and ancient promises. Well, this is a homily, not a sermon. That means it's short. So I won't go through all the many others, but I'll summarize some of them. In the scriptures, we see other prophecies of Christ being fulfilled. We've read many times this month of the prophecy of where he would be born, the town of Bethlehem, and how miracles, signs, and wonders would mark his life, and that even the gospel would mark his lips, and how he would one day enter Jerusalem, and how there would be a dividing of his garments by the cross, and even his last words on the cross, and even his resurrection. You see, Jesus fulfilled all of them, from his virgin birth to his death and resurrection. All of that so that you would know today without a doubt that Christ is the goal of the scriptures. Christ is the beginning, the middle, and the end. He entered the world with a bang, the virgin birth, so that you would pay attention to him. Draw near to him. Draw near to him. Second benefit and reason for the virgin birth. The virgin birth is one reason why Jesus is free from sin. We read that back in our passage, Luke chapter 1, verse 35. For there we read these words where the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Let's think a moment about the phrase holy. I find it remarkable that in the letters in the New Testament that those who knew Jesus best insisted again and again that this man was sinless. Modern biographers, when they write about famous figures, can often dig up the dirt. Nothing's sacred these days. Biographers reveal it all. In fact, you could dig up a lot of old dirt on me if you talk to my old friends. I remember when I went back to my hometown with my wife or bride-to-be. I can't remember what Lynn was at that time. But we visited some old neighbors, and I remember the Antishes, and they were a good Catholic family. And Mr. Antish looked at me when he heard I was going off to divinity school, and he said, "Well, Stevie Igo's going to become a priest." He always was pretty ornery. And then Mrs. Antish came to my defense and said, "Well, he was energetic." You just have to dig up my old friends. They'll tell you. But you see, not with the friends of Jesus, those who knew him best and wrote about him. For you see, they saw his enemies insult him, and they watched him not retaliate. They watched Jesus speak, and his friends saw no deceit in his mouth. And they watched him suffer, says Peter, and when he suffered, he made no threats, no cursing, no swearing, no spitting like most men do when we are in pain. Look at the words of 1 Peter 2, 22 and 23, where it says this, "Eyewitness Peter, he committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." How can that be? On my best day, I can't do that. On my best day, I cannot carry that load Peter described of Jesus, no matter how much I psyched myself out. Could the disciples have been wrong in their eyewitness of his integrity? And the answer is no. Because the miraculous virgin birth explains the foundations upon which Jesus did it. The virgin birth prevented Jesus from inheriting that sinful nature we are all born with. And this makes sense. After all, a sinless man is impossible without a miracle. Is that not right? A sinless man or woman is impossible without a miracle. And so it appears Jesus received that immunity from original sin that so plagues you and I through ordinary birth. Just like the first Adam. Jesus, like the first Adam, now the last Adam, was created with pure motives, pure desires, and pure behavior. And that explains the foundation upon which Christ could do it. You see, we are born in original sin, and then we have many actual sins to prove it. Jesus was born in original righteousness, and he had many actual deeds of righteousness to prove it. That explains how Jesus could do it. And we see that idea even latent in the alternative reading of Luke 1, verse 35. It's sometimes in the footnote of our Bibles. It says, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy." Now, just one caveat. This does not mean that the fallen nature is only transmitted to children through the fathers. I know you ladies are thinking it. Fess up. No. But it does seem safe to say that in the case of Jesus, the family chain of original sin was broken through that virgin birth, and the Holy Spirit's holiness was imparted to his human nature by divine conception. And so, dear church, because Jesus was born of a virgin and born righteous through that verse, we have confidence as we read 1 Peter 3, verse 18. What does it say? It says that Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And the virgin birth is one visible, magnificent sign of that work being done. On the cross, Jesus was qualified to take our place of sinners. The virgin birth is simply one more proof the sinless Son of God could die for you and me, and he's worthy to be your Savior, and you ought to trust him today. Brings us to our third and final point. You're wondering, why can't Pastor do this every Sunday? He goes on and on and on. I can do it short when Ted puts the gun to my head. No, Ted's good about that. He'll let me go on and on. But the third and final point, the virgin birth is important. And may this touch us most this holiday season, because it testifies that salvation is by grace alone, by grace alone. You see, One blessed thing the Bible teaches about the image of God is that we're made male and female, and that means we can make babies together as a husband and as a wife. A wonderful thing. A man and a woman can unite in love and make a baby. But you see, one thing we cannot make is a savior. We've sometimes hoped, we've pinned our, you young couples, you look at your little ones and you think that child's going to be president of the United States. That child's going to invent the cure for cancer. That child is going to make their mark, and sometimes we put messianic hopes in our children. But we can't make saviors. And so in this virgin birth, the man is completely removed from the process to show that salvation comes only from God. That men had absolutely nothing. Men, let's say this again. Men, you had absolutely zero, nothing to do with the birth of the Savior of God's people. Nothing. You had nothing to do with it. Oh, a man had much to do with plunging us into sin and misery. A man plunged us into sin and misery with alacrity, but he could not get us out of the sin and misery. Only God can save. And all that we in humanity can do to experience that great salvation is to wait upon the Lord. Like Mary. What does Mary do? What does Mary do, ladies, to bring forth a Savior? You know what Mary does to bring forth a Savior? Absolutely nothing. She only receives. She only accepts. She submits to the divine initiative of God. And in response to the divine initiative of God, she says, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Dear church, that is how salvation works. Man does nothing. Woman does nothing. God does everything. And when he does it, we respond by saying, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." John picks up this theme in John chapter 1. He says salvation can never come through human effort. And he puts it this way in John 1 verse 13, saying salvation is not children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And so if salvation is to come and renewal is to touch your heart and revival to touch the church, let me say one thing to the men: get out of the way. Get out of the way before somebody gets hurt. And ladies, step back. Let God carry out his plan. And all of us, live like Mother Mary. Submit to God. Make yourself his servant. And watch him deliver the people you love most. Through the virgin birth, we learn that salvation is of God. So, dear church, from that brief message, I hope you love and trust and admire Christ more than you've ever loved him and trusted him. His virgin birth shows that he is the center of Old Testament prophecy. His virgin birth shows that he is free from sin originally as well as actually capable of being your Savior. And his virgin birth shows that salvation comes when we get out of the way and we trust God. Let all God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would bless this meditation upon the virgin birth. Pray, O Lord, that we would get out of the way. We would step back and watch your divine initiative, which began long ago, before a virgin and into the manger, and then off to Egypt, and then back to Nazareth, and all around Galilee and into Jerusalem and to the hill of Golgotha and then to the tomb and then raised from the grave and to the Mount of Olives and ascended and is now seated at the Father's right hand, that divine initiative would continue today in the sending of your Holy Spirit, and that we would get out of your way. Oh Lord, we do pray that you would grant to us submission to you as humble servants. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Let us say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. Or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.